97.5, The Fanatic. Week 11 in the NFL is in the books, and the Birds find themselves back at 500 after a 17-10 loss to Tom Brady and the Patriots on Sunday. The offense continues to struggle, and the Birds fall one game back of the NFC East leading Cowboys. This is the Ron Jaworski Show live from Ballybrook Country Club. Now, here's your host, Ron Jaworski.
Good evening, everyone, and yes, we are live from the Ballybrook Country Club, Riley's Pub. Oh, yeah, and it's a lively crowd tonight. A disappointed crowd after last Sunday, but lively nonetheless. And welcome to the Ron Jaworski Show. And, of course, we are brought to you by Xfinity. Stay connected during the biggest moments of every game with Xfinity Internet, delivering reliably fast speeds even during those peak hours when everyone seems to be online. Learn more at Xfinity.com. We're also brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White Water Heaters, built to be the very best. And thanks to Carl Pinto and all the fine folks out at Bradford White Water Heaters. And we are also brought to you by Burns Honda. Visit them today at burnshonda.com. Jim McCormick and his team will take great care of you. And, of course, we are sponsored by Miller Lite. We got to have the Miller Lite specials here. Thanks to our guys Mark Kramer and Brendan Dalton for their incredible support of this show and their fine Miller Lite beer. All right, we have a lot to talk about. As Bill Parcells once said, you are what your record says you are. 5-5. Now that is the, the signal of mediocrity right now for this team. I think the expectations were a lot higher. My personal prediction was 13-3. Obviously, I was wrong. We're going to break this 5-5 team down. I'm going to be joined by Vince Papale in just a moment. And Vince always gives us great insight on what is going on with the Philadelphia Eagles. Jeremiah Trotter will be joining us, and he'll break down the defense. And if hey, come on, Vince, screw around up here, man. This is the man known as he does it all. He does it all. I can't think of one word. One word that could explain you, Vince. You do it all. You do everything. Invincible is like the word we all use, but he does everything. Welcome, Vince Papale, to the show, everyone.
Great to be here. Thanks very much. Hey. Thanks. Thanks, Ron.
We got to take care of the personal business first.
All right.
Your son, Vinny, great career at Delaware.
Uh-huh.
Looking for an opportunity in the XFL.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's
and
looking.
NFL.
And the NFL. Of course.
Hello, buddy, what's up?
That'll be the stepping stone. Who's that big guy that just crashed the party here? That's Jeremiah Trotter.
That's it.
Give us an update on what Vinny's doing right now and what the expectations are with the XFL as a precursor to his career in the NFL.
Well, you know, it's all about the opportunities we were just talking about, and he's got a great opportunity now. The supplemental XFL draft is coming up. He's been down in Boca Raton, and he's training with two of the best wide receivers ever played in the NFL, and that's Pierre Garçon and Anquan Boldin.
Wow.
Yeah, you are
correct.
Just a few tips, and, you know, they feel that he's got NFL potential. So we have the supplemental draft coming up with the XFL now, having spoken to his agent, Blake Barrett, who represents Adam Thielen from the Vikings, and a coach from Mills, and Brian Baldinger have been his four biggest advocates. And, he's on the board.
Well, we're going to get him on the field. We've got to get him on the field because he's a talented young man.
He's on the board. So, you know, it's all about that chance and opportunity. We think that he's going to get picked up. But, you know, what you think and what really happens, like we thought the Eagles would be 13-3 right now.
That's right, yeah.
You know, it is what it is. Yeah. And, you know, you roll the dice, and hopefully he'll get picked up on Friday, and then you go from there.
Vince, thank you so much. Also joining us tonight, the Axeman himself, Jeremiah Trotter. Trot, thank you so much. It looks like you just got off the golf course. What were you out there playing in the dark?
Yeah, just leaving practice, man.
Yeah, all right. I'm not going to waste any time in getting this. I said this is a mediocre football team. I'm probably as disappointed as anyone. I predicted 13-3. I thought this was a very, very good football team. They haven't played up to the expectations that we all thought they would. Trot, what has gone wrong here? How can this team that we all felt was loaded be sitting here at 5-5 right now?
Well, I think it's a combination of injuries. I think it's a combination of guys just shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, early on, they went on the road, a lot of turnovers, holding penalties. know, defensively at the time, they couldn't cover anybody. So just self-inflicted wounds. I mean, the defense played well the other night. I got to give them credit.
Last week?
Yeah, last week.
The other night.
They played well. They didn't get any help from the offense side of the ball. I wish we had stayed with the run, you know, especially against, you know, a team that doesn't play the run that well, but they're in the top one, I think. Against the pass?
Number one against the pass.
You just in that situation, it worked on the one drive, and you just want to stay ahead of the chains. You know how it is. I mean, you want to third and five, third and four. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you start getting in third and 10, third and eight against the number one passing team in the league, odds not in your favor.
No. Hey, here's when that game started, and the Eagles went 97 yards, took a 10-0 lead. I'm thinking this game's over. I mean, it could not have been coached better, executing the game plan better. You keep the ball away from Tom Brady. I thought Tom Brady had an awful day, and Tom doesn't have many awful days. So if there was a game that was available to the Eagles to win, it was the game. Give a lot of pressure. Credit to the secondary, played well, got some pressure on Tom, and he does a great job of throwing the ball away. But Trot, you alluded to it in your first comment. Got away from the game plan. That first drive, go 97 yards. Balance, B-A-L-A-N-C-E. I use the B word. And you play defense your entire career, one of the best in the business, a Hall of Famer with the Eagles. You know how hard it is to defend a team that runs the ball well and throws the ball well. The Eagles did that in the first drive.
Yeah.
I'm watching that game, Vince. What happened after that?
I don't know. I felt the same way at 10-0 that this is going to be one of those kinds of games. And when you saw Brady having a subpar game, and, you know, when's the last time that you could say that they won a game, the Patriots won a game, and Tom Brady did not throw a touchdown pass? Has that ever happened before?
No, Julian Edelman threw it.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. You know, what Jeremiah Witrada had said, you know, obviously the injuries had some impact, you know, with Lane Johnson gone on, and they had to change a little bit. But, you know, what really bothered me, I think, the most was just a couple of bonehead plays on special teams. And, you know, the returning and fair catching a ball inside the 5-yard line, not once, not twice, but, you know, a couple, three times. And as you know, field position is so important in that game.
Field position game.
And, you know, they you would have thought they just kept flipping the field in their favor. And then, you know, whatever it was. And certainly, you know, the injuries going into the game. Doug and I were always talking about the next man up theory. You know, you know, like a Navy SEAL kind of a thing. You know, when you lose that one guy, the next guy comes up and he's going to make that play. And we were even talking about it before the game. And some of the guys, the next man up, they didn't step up. And you know, you really have to be accountable, and you have to make the plays. And to me, you know, from you might from the quarterback's perspective, Ron, you might say, you know, what kind of confidence does the quarterback have in his wide receivers? You know, and you know, it seems like he's just focusing on the one. You know, when you had Malshawn going down, and now of course you have 13, you know, so he's going to be your number one guy. And he threw to him a couple times. He made some catches. But, you know, mostly he was focused on going in the tight ends and, you know, forgetting the other three guys. You know, the guys have WR next to their name. And, you know, I don't know if it's a lack of confidence, guys not getting open. But when you can shrink the offense down to 9 players and of the skill level, you know, and you eliminate a couple, three of the skill players and the wide receivers, that's really to the defense's advantage.
Well, Vinny, you're absolutely right. Vince Papale, we will get to that in a moment. Jeremiah Trotter joining me here. But we have to take a break, but we are going to come back and break down this receiving core who've been taking a lot of heat this week. We'll be back with more of the Ron Jaworski Show right after this.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic. Now back to the Ron Jaworski Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everyone. And yes, we are live in a lively crowd at Riley's Tavern here. Oh, man, good crowd on hand. The Valleybrook Country Club. Good to see everyone. Got my guy Jeremiah Trotter here, member of the Eagles Hall of Fame. And I noticed something when he walked in the room. It's kind of... He had his chest puffed out a little bit, you know? he had that Hall of Fame kind of feel about his swagger coming in. And he should, because he has two fantastic sons there at St. Joe's Prep, Jeremiah and Josiah. They are playing Nazareth in a playoff, I guess, Friday night.
Yep.
And Jeremiah Jr. has already committed to Clemson.
Woo!
Man. Congratulations. That is awesome stuff. Man, that big old smile. He's a proud dad, man. We know that feeling, right, Vinny? Do you know that feeling? I know that feeling.
It can be a headache, though.
Oh, come on.
Come on. He would take that headache all day long.
See all these grays? Well, I've got a son and two daughters. I think the grays are from the daughters.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, we all know that. But congratulations, Trot, man.
That's congratulations.
Fantastic,
that's awesome,
man.
That's so
and
cool,
you ought to be proud. All right, Vinny, we're talking about this receiving core.
Right.
Come on, man. We got a guy there named Carl Walsh coaching this group. What do you think he is doing with this group this week? I mean, there's got to be some separation. We're not getting any, man. We're going to talk about Carson in a moment because he's taking a lot of heat, but there's not very many big windows to throw into. You're coaching these guys. What are you going to do?
Well, I guess the one thing I do is get back to fundamentals and get them off the line of scrimmage. The other thing is that it's very difficult. You know, I think when you got the defenses compressing up and you don't have that deep threat, you know, that we had with Deshaun and now he's out with that sports hernia. That well, I don't know about that one. I would have had that taken care of way earlier.
Well,
in the season,
maybe surgery when it was recommended would probably have been better. He might be playing right now, but
I guess right now I would think part of it might be just getting him out and getting those nice possession passes and some crossing routes, whatever it is, some picks. But some way somehow they've got to be involved in the passing game. Because,
hello, Vinny. You said it, man. The picks, the rubs, Trot knows the worst thing you can do to a defense is start running those overs and unders and shallows. And if you're watching the game, I'm watching the game as a fan, then the first thing on Monday morning, I get the tape out and I'm looking, what did the Patriots do? What coverage they play? They were a predominant man-to-man coverage team. They mix in their zone. You don't stay in that man-to-man all the time, but it was a predominant man-to-man. As a coaching staff, you got to be more aware of what they're doing. You got to have those picks. You got to have those rubs. You got to have a way to help this receiving core. And we all know you're signing guys on Wednesday, and Jordan Matthews, he's playing 60 plus snaps on Sunday. You got to help them. You got to help. You got to design a game plan to help. Don't you, Trot?
Unless you got some guys that can put the DBs in spin cycles, you got to help them out. You got to run routes that can get those guys open. The Patriots have been. I mean, they're the masterminds of that, getting those guys open. So, it's just frustrating to watch Carson. I know he takes a lot of heat as a quarterback, and that goes along with the territory. Jaws, that better than anybody. But it's tough when you're a quarterback. Every throw you make has to be perfect. I mean, it has to be the coverage is so tight on some of these guys. It's tough as a quarterback when you know in your mind that throw has to be perfect every single time.
You know, Trot, I tend to agree with you. And, I've watched every ball he has thrown since he came here 4 years ago. And I think Carson is playing very good football. Overall, he's playing very good football.
I agree.
Yeah. Now, that being said, here's the challenge you have.
Right.
As a quarterback, you've just received a guaranteed $107 million contract. You got a check for $66 million. You got the potential to make $144 million.
He'll make that.
The bar has been raised.
Right.
And a lot of people sitting at this bar, there's a lot of people in their cars right now, there's a lot of people at home that are trying hard to put food on the table, take care of their family, and their expectations are higher than being very good. And that's my perception of it, and they expect more from a guy that is your franchise player. So Carson, in my opinion, as good as he's playing, which is very good, when you put the face of the franchise onto this team, when you get the ball at the 27-yard line against the Patriots and it's first down, you got to make plays. You had three open receivers and missed three open receivers. To me, there's got to be that defining moment for Carson where, you know what, he gets over that hump. He gets the big win. He takes the team down the field. You know, and right now I see a quarterback lacking that bravado that I am the man. You know, and eventually you got to go on the field and get over that hump.
I think that's the one issue that a lot of people have with Carson, especially you watch the tape. You go in, it's different than watching it on TV than going and getting the team copies. Because you can sit and watch it and rewind it and see everybody who, if he missed a throw, if
what the design is.
What the design, if the guy's open. So those are plays, granted, we don't expect you to put the ball in the perfect position on a man-to-man coverage every time. But when you do get a guy open, you got to find him. When the route calls for this guy to be open and he's open, you got to hit it. You got to pull the trigger.
That's your job.
Right.
Hit the open receiver.
Right.
Go ahead, Vinny.
Well, I'm just thinking from the open receiver's point of view, too. You know, the guy's got to make the catch or it has to do what he has
right.
to do, you know.
But, self-inflicted wounds all the way around.
Oh, good point, Vinny. Receiver, catch the damn ball, right?
Well,
I'll get Keyshawn Johnson here.
Coming from a receiver, right?
And, you know, I mean, obviously that happened in the first couple of games, and I guess you could look back at it and say, hey, they could have had a win. We'd be, you know, instead of 5-5, could be 7-3 at this
right.
particular point.
What do you do, Vince? You're Doug Peterson. We love Doug. We know he's won a Super Bowl. He's a great
yeah.
What do you do? You've got guys dropping balls. You look at design. Help these guys out. Do something to get them open. We mentioned the picks, the rubs. Help them out. What do you do?
Well, I know what Dick Vermeil would have done. I'd done the same thing, and I did with when I was coaching Vinny, you know, just right back to fundamentals
yeah.
and working on that, you know, and don't complicate it too much, you know. And with Jordan just coming in and, you know, having 60 snaps and not playing in how long, you know, I mean, that had to be
yeah.
a grind a little bit and that was able to absorb all of the offense. And, you know, in Carson's defense, too, don't forget that, you know, he only had 50% of his running backs, you know, because you got one of your main guys down. You got Howard down, you know. You have Palmer in there, and he's busting as much as he can. But you know that double pronged running game, you know, it just wasn't there, which was there before, and I think that has to have an effect on everything as well.
Well, I think the running game was there. It worked on the one drive. But
yeah, on the one drive,
you got to stick to it.
Yeah,
you got to stick with. You got to stick with. We it's a saying when you go to a casino, you only win with your own bet, and if you leave a casino broken even. Then you it's a win. So if you,
I agree with that.
If you run the ball and say you only get 1 yard or half a yard or just get to the line of scrimmage, that's a win. You ain't getting negative yards. And when you get in no third and long, first of all, as a defense coordinator, that's the toughest call for a defense coordinator to make is third and short, because the offense can do anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But when you get in third and long, third and eight, anything over third and eight, it's tough. On offense.
That plays into your hand. That defensive guys, you love that situation.
Yeah, we love that. Yeah. The defensive ends are pinning their ears back. They know you're going to pass them. They'll allow you to pick up 7 yards if it's third and eight because you're going to get off the field. Right, make a tackle and get off the field.
Yeah. High five and run into the sideline.
Right.
I mean, the other thing that it kind of sat my craw a little bit, you know, when the game was over and I'm, you know, replaying the game and I'm looking at the tape and saying, man, that first, you know, that drive before you get the 50-yard penalty to start
right.
the game, you get a field goal, you get a long drive, you're up 10. And actually, you know, Sanders is running the ball well. They're using him the right way. I love him in the screen game. He can actually beat one-on-one to get matched against a linebacker.
Right.
He should. Also, Boston Scott became the guy. And I don't, you know, I love Deuce Staley. I think he's a fantastic coach. But I do question this rotation. I mean, if you got a guy that's going to be your bell cow, although the Eagles have never really had kind of a bell cow guy, you could say Shady was that guy. I'm a big believer in one guy that carries a load, and you give him a spell every now and then after he gets a little tired. I believe a running back gets a feel for the game as it goes on, a feel for what the defense is doing, a feel for contact. And all of a sudden he plays three plays, he's on the sideline for 20 minutes. It's hard to get that feel back.
Well,
I like the bell cow, and I think Sanders should be the bell cow.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, with 35, and you know, in there, you know, is he ever going to get a chance to get a feel for the game because he hasn't really played that much during the season? So, you know, and it's just, you know, getting that confidence. You know how important confidence is when you're out there. And man, if a defensive guy like Trout would be, and he looks in the eyes of somebody and he feels that there's that little flicker of doubt, and I'm not saying there was any doubt there, but, you know, he still hasn't had all those reps. It could be a tough day.
Yeah, and Trout, you know, you can look in that backfield. Hey, you know what a guy's telling you. Just look at him.
Those guys, I think they go into the game plan. I think I heard Deuce say once he tried to go with the hot hand, you know, and it's tough. As running backs will tell you, it's tough to kind of get into a groove when you're rotating all the time. Mm. So, you know, and as a coach, you don't know which guy's going to have the hot hand to the game start. But, you know, if you got a guy that you trust and you believe in, try to get him going and see what happens, you know.
Well, I thought it was pretty obvious early in the game.
Right.
If Sanders was the guy, and then they got away from that, and I'm sure – you know, Doug's probably second-guessing himself because, you know, you had the guy that you moved the ball, and all of a sudden you got away from it. And that does happen every now and then.
Right.
That, in fact, you know, our dear friend Dick Vermeil, when he was coaching the world champion St. Louis Rams, I remember the story he would tell always about Marshall Faulk. And Mike Martz was a pass-happy play caller. You know, he wanted Isaac Bruce, Torrey Hilton, and Kurt Warner slinging the ball all over the field. And Coach Vermeil would go up, he goes, hey, tell Martz, hey, Faulk. Falk. Hey, you sometimes forget, you know.
F-A-U-L-K.
F-A-U-L-K. Yeah.
Hey, you know what, y'all, man? We had to know they was going to run some trick plays. We had to know that New England was going to try that. They still salty from the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
They're still upset, man.
Trot, the first two series the Patriots had the ball, I saw more creative screenplays than I've ever seen. Tom Brady didn't throw a ball over the line of scrimmage for two series.
Yeah, they'll never admit it, but, brother, them guys is hot off that Super Bowl. Philly. For the rest of their career, they got to hear Philly.
All right, guys. And, you know, hey, I've been talking about my friends at Burns Honda for years. And there's a reason for that. When you find a business that you can trust and really enjoy dealing with, you want to tell everyone about your experience. Burns Honda has a terrific inventory right now that you can see online. Shop their huge inventory of over 800 vehicles online at burnshonda.com. Enjoy extremely low price leasing, limited time financing options as well. Stop it and tell them Jaw sent you. Tell them Trot sent you. Tell them Vinny Papale sent you. Hey, Burns Honda is located on Route 73 in Marlton, New Jersey. Visit Burns Honda and discover an unmatched car buying experience for yourself. And remember, when you need super clearance savings on a new Honda car, truck, or SUV, turn to Burns. You'll be glad you did. Check out all their offers and their entire lineup at burnshonda.com. We'll be back with more of the Ron Jaworski Show. Jeremiah Trotter, Vince Papale, live from Riley's Pub right after this.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. Genuine Philly sports talk. 97.5 The Fanatic. Now back to the Ron Jaworski Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. The Ron Jaworski Show. Vinny Papale here got these. Man, he looks like he's 31 years old there, Vince, on that picture.
I think he was 31.
Jeremiah Trotter. Big crowd on hand here at Riley's Pub, just having a good old time talking Eagles football. The 5-5 Philadelphia Eagles. Hey, but I got them at 9-5 right now. I see four more wins. Two Giants, Miami,
Redskins.
Okay, there's nine. So we're down to a two-game season. Dallas on December 22nd, and of course the Seattle Seahawks this week coming to Philadelphia. Trot, I'm going right to you with this one.
All right.
Because we all know they got a guy playing pretty darn good football right now in Russell Wilson. In my opinion, through their 10 games so far, 8-2, Russell Wilson is the league MVP. You got to look at this guy, and you've played, you know what he's made of. You've seen him play enough. How do you defend Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks offense?
it's tough because he does such a good job of when the play is broken down, that's when he's at his best. And your job as a defense is try to break the play down, get him to you know, scramble out of the pocket, put pressure on him. But you put pressure on him, and he does something miraculous. You know, and it's not sometimes. He's been doing it all year. He's been doing it his whole career, you know. And that's just really tough. He knows when to run, when to throw the ball. Some of the throws he's made this year has been remarkable. So it's going to be important that the offense take a lot of pressure off the defense.
Is he one of those guys, Russell Wilson, that you watch him and you see the plays he makes? Do you pressure him with blitz, bring people after, or do you play a coverage scheme to him? What would you think that Schwartzy would like to design this week to slow down? You're not going to stop Russell Wilson and all his weapons, but how do you think Schwartzy goes after him?
Well, I mean, Schwartz is in a tough predicament. I mean, your defensive backs haven't played well up until last week. Last week,
I think the last couple weeks. Yeah. I think it's starting to come together.
So,
in the secondary.
Right, and they started getting guys healthy. So hopefully, if they keep those guys healthy, now you can put pressure, and then those guys got to hold up on the pressure, you know. And you got to get him to roll out to his left, you know, make it a little bit harder on him, right-handed quarterback.
Right.
So get him to roll out to his left, and he's still really good at just getting his feet set and just. I mean, the guy's amazing. He's having an outstanding year. They're going to have to stop the run, get him in some third and long situations. Mm. And it's really – the offense especially is really going to help the defense out.
You know, when I watch Russell Wilson, he plays very well within structure.
Right.
I mean, he has gotten so much better with timing and rhythm and understanding, you know, where the routes are defined and where the ball should go, his reading progression. But, Vinny, as Jeremiah said a moment ago – out of structure, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, because he has those guys out there in the field too, the receiving core. He has so much confidence in, and they have in him. They just make those adjustments downfield. You know, whether it's
Benny love them receivers, don't
yeah.
Yeah.
No.
He gonna find a way to work them into conversation.
I turned to my guy Benny.
Well,
he is invincible.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. You know, I mean, these guys just adjust. You know, and they have that scramble thing down so
right.
well. And whether it's a zone, a man, you know, they're going to find themselves open, or he's going to find a way to get them open. And he puts so much pressure. I can't imagine being a defensive back or linebacker. And, you know, he's right there at that line of scrimmage. And what do? You know, do you commit? You come after him? You want to take his head off? Or are you going to back up? Because one way or the other, you're going to make the wrong decision most of the times with him because he's so good. And I was saying it last year, you know, if you're going to be playing the Seattle Seahawks, there's only two words you got to worry about, and that's Russell Wilson.
That's right.
And it's as simple as that. You can contain him and keep him in check. I think you got a pretty good chance. The good thing is now the defense is rolling a little bit. You know, they've got the confidence. They got a little bit of swagger. The secondary really did a nice job last week when you can shut down what they did. And now can we get the offense rolling? So we'll see what's going on. Fundamentals, baby.
Vinny, I almost snicker when we talk about scrambling quarterbacks and why their offense is effective when quarterbacks break the structure. And, you know, we've all been around the game a long time. You know, I've been around guys like, you know, Dick Vermeil, Chuck Knox, Don Shula, Marty Schottenheimer, Buddy Ryan. And we'd practice, and you guys, Trot, you'd see the offense practicing. Okay, let's go over our scramble rules, you know?
Right.
When the quarterback breaks the pocket, there's all these rules for wide receivers. Deep guy go deep, short guy staying at the same level. And I quite simply thought it's a bunch of crock. I'm like, the reason scrambles work is because of the quarterback.
Right.
He can find the guy, he's got great vision, and can throw the ball with precise accuracy on the run. It's not where the receivers get to. It's where the quarterback gets the ball to them. To me, that really matters. And Russell Wilson is phenomenal at that, Trot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I'm agree with Vinny. Vince, the receivers are a big part of that, too. So when they see him scrambling, and those young guys have really come in and gelled him. They're on the same page. They know he's going to keep the play alive with his legs. And they just go right into that scramble route rule. So he's throwing it with precision on the run. He does a great job, even when he has initial pressure in his face, keeping his eyes down the field. And, you know, he just really makes it tough on the defense.
It's an interesting matchup from a coaching perspective as well. I, you know, sometimes – we just say, hey, Doug Peterson, you know, he's the head coach, and you know, you got Pete Carroll, he's the head coach, and you know, they'll get it done. I think you have to look at these two head coaches and getting their teams prepared. And you know, we don't see Seattle an awful lot because they're out in the great Northwest, and you know, we don't get them all. Yeah, you know, we do get a lot of TV games because they're a good team, but we know very little about them because we don't play them on a regular basis. But you look at what Pete Carroll has done with that team. I mean, they're 8-2 right now. You look at his 10 years out in Seattle. He wins 9, 10, 11, 12 games every year. They never seem to slip. And I've looked at them enough to form an opinion on how they play. Here's what they do, Trot. They play every snap. Every snap. They don't take a playoff. They don't take a series off. Right. They don't have a bad game. And Doug's got to be certain that his team is prepared this week for every snap, because Pete Carroll's teams do not back down at any time. And well, you know what? Hey, I'm talking to guys that played in this league. There are teams, you know, you hit them in the mouth a few times, right, you're not going to get the same energy. Pete Carroll teams, they're going to take you 60 minutes, 65, 70 plays every game. Doug's got to have his team ready.
Yeah, I mean, Pete, he's been in my doghouse for a while since that whole Super Bowl thing, you know, right, not giving it to Marshawn. But I was really impressed the way he got this team playing, and he lost the whole Legion of Boom. I thought it was going to take a little longer for those guys to recover because they lost everybody within like a 2-year span, you know. And that's a lot of talent to lose, and then replace those guys and get your team back on track. They're running the football now. That's really helping Russell out.
Yep.
So you know, I'm impressed where he has the team. They're playing with energy, playing with passion. They, like you said, they never give up. I mean, I'm not sure how many comeback games he's had this year.
Overtime, last right, play of the game. Right. I mean, they go right down the wire. And I will tell you this right now. Mark this down. There will be a critical situation in the game, and they're going to run that zone read option. It's right, going to be 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2, and they're going to put the ball in Russell Wilson's hand. It's like every time there's a big play in a game, I'm saying, oh, they're going to run that zone read option when Russell's going to actually read it, not just hand it off or an RPO. It's going to be a run read.
I think last week he hadn't run the ball a lot, and then get in the last drive, he break it up the middle for like 20, 22 yards, you know, for a first down. And he just know when to take off, when, you know, when to stay back and use his arm. He's just really doing a great job right now in decision making.
Much like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, I thought, is the best I've seen at reading the coverage.
Right.
He gets a man-to-man. And once he reads that man-to-man coverage, watches his face mask go down. I look at the tape, get that end zone copy. It's man-to-man coverage. And Aaron kind of goes like this, and now he starts looking where that gap is, because he knows defenders have their back turned. They're running a crossing route. They're running deep. He breaks that pocket. You got a first down.
And he gets rid of that ball so quick.
Oh, yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
From an accountability point
Finney,
of view.
Finney, you can do anything you want.
You were defensive captain at one point, right?
Right.
All right. I was special teams captain. You were captain of the offense. Now, forget about the coach. You're talking about Carroll, talking about Peterson. It all comes down to the players, you know, and especially from the Eagles side of things. If we're in the locker room, what are you going to be saying to your teammates? What are you saying to the defense? What are you saying to the offense? I know what I'm saying to the special teams. Set your hair on fire, cause a wreck, and make a goddamn play and create a turnover.
Well,
you know?
Well, Vinny, you can do that on special teams.
Yeah.
I think accountability goes across the board. It's the players. It's the coaches. You know, the one of the first things we talked about in the beginning of the show was needing to stick with the runs. Last time I checked, players don't call plays. The coaches call plays.
Well, you can audible. If you're Carson,
yeah,
you can audible.
Yeah, but I mean, you know.
There's one player that can call them. One. Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I think accountability is across the board, man. Now, players can only control what they can do. So they have to hold each other accountable. Coaches have to hold themselves accountable. But, you know, if you're in the locker room, you're like, listen, I've said they got to get one of these two. They didn't get New England. They got to get this one.
This is a critical game.
Yep.
You know, you hate to say must win, but like I said, I've got it broken down. They're 9-5 right now.
Right.
They have to win this game and the Dallas game. 11 wins will win the division,
I believe,
in my opinion.
Yep.
And you look at, I mean, what's happened in Minnesota. You know, they're 8-3 right now. You got all these teams with, you know, 2-3 losses. So you're not going to sneak in with a 10-6
no,
record.
No.
And maybe if Dallas falters big time, you might. You might win the division at 10-6,
which I don't see them doing.
I don't either.
They're playing good defense, really good defense, and Prescott is playing really good on offense out of the ball. So.
All right, I'm going to put you guys on the spot here. I like to put my guests' feet to the fire and make our weekly predictions on the game. Trot, I think you've picked every game right ever since you've been on the show. And
real?
Yeah, you're absolutely awesome. So, all right.
You're putting the pressure on me now.
Of course I am. So, you got a 3-foot putt. You got to make it to win that $5 Nassau. So I don't know what you're going to do. Here we go. 1 o'clock. Sunday, Seattle at Lincoln Financial Field. Jeremiah Trotter predicts.
I'm going Eagles.
Give me a score.
Oh, so you want a score? I just can't say win?
No.
Oh, man.
There are people they need to cover.
Our defense has been playing pretty good. I'm going to say Eagles 24, Seattle 17.
All right, that's a cover. Vinny, you look very serious here, man. You are like gazing into the lights here.
Lights are blinding you, by the way.
Well, those lights are killing me right now. It's also like,
hey, Jason, dim those lights.
It's like I just took a hit, you know? Give me some smelling salts.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at 17. I'm looking at the Eagles. I mean, I'm still bleeding green. So the Eagles, we got 17 for the Seahawks. And I'm seeing that 2 touchdowns, 3 field goals. So what's that, 14 plus 9? So that's 23-17 Eagles.
Well, that's St. Joe's education.
I'll tell you what.
You're assuming
the Hawk will never die.
You're assuming they make the 2 extra points, so a 2 touchdowns.
Well, of course I am. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with the Birds again as well, but I've got them 24-20 Eagles over the Seattle Seahawks. Not those Seahawk Birds, our Philadelphia Eagle Birds. And that'll do it for the Ron Jaworski Show. Thanks to Jeremiah Trotter, Vince Papale for taking a time out of your very busy schedule, guys. I always appreciate your insight, man. Always great to
pleasure,
have you.
Ron.
You're right.
Thanks
for
the big crowd here at Riley's Pub. Guys are awesome. Valley Brook Country Club. And, oh, by the way, no show next week. It's Thanksgiving week. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.